From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, which is the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's centered around this culture of love. And today we have Katie Cantrell, and you are going to love her, right? She is going to give us some information and share with us a perspective that I think is going to be super helpful for entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, or anybody that wants to look their very best. And I do, but I am a terrible, terrible dresser. Katie has a company called Dressing for Success, and we're going to find out about her company, how she got into that, and then we're going to also look into, like, she got me dressed up. She didn't tell me what to wear today, but a little bit of how a guy might want to go out and pick out something to wear, because she's helped a number of my buddies. I know you also dress some of the celebrities out there that we have heard of before. So, Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here. Now, give us a little bit of your background. I want to maybe, then we'll get into the business stuff. What's the journey to getting to this fashion entrepreneurial adventure?
Yeah, so I have not always been an entrepreneur or a business owner. And actually, I have somewhat of a non-traditional background. I'm from the East Coast, and I started out fundamentally knowing I wanted to help people. I actually thought I was going to do medical, like be a doctor, but then I decided to become a therapist. Mm. And so I went to college and then grad school in the Boston area and became an occupational therapist. And the way I like to describe that is it's like a creative physical therapist. So this is important because an occupational therapist kind of solves problems. So anyone who has a barrier, whether it's a condition or an injury, an OT helps them get over it. So that's where I started my professional life.
You have to do a lot of teaching in that because people are relearning certain things.
Literally.
Right?
Yeah. Literally. So you are taking them where they're at and they're saying, this is what I want to do. And you're like, let's figure out how.
Okay.
So very creative, very problem solving. So then I moved to the West Coast after grad school and I became an OT. And it wasn't until I really started having a family that I started to say, maybe there's something else for me. Even though being an OT was totally my personality and a good extension of myself, I wondered, basically I was leaving my house at 7 o'clock in the morning and getting home at 5. Mm. So one of the challenges of a helping profession is you help a lot of other people. And ironically enough, my husband is a marriage family therapist. So we had a two therapist family. And I thought, gosh, is there another way that I could be home more with the kids to the driven problem solver in me might have a different way to do things. So basically, long story short, I got exposed to the world of custom menswear and I started to dabble in it. But I was not an entrepreneur. I wasn't in sales. I had just spent, 15 years in healthcare. And I didn't even realize what I was getting into. So at first, I didn't really have a plan. But then once I did suffer a little bit of imposter syndrome. I know some people talk about that in this world, is where for me, I knew myself as a therapist and I was starting to do well as a stylist, but I still wasn't putting myself out there. I wasn't on social media. I wasn't on LinkedIn because there was just this gap of like, am I a therapist? Am I a stylist? Once I got over that and got on social media, then everything took off. So then I started to really see myself as an entrepreneur and a small businesswoman.
Well, you said, before the show, and I didn't realize this, did you do an ikigai exercise where you're trying to decide what you want to be when you grow up?
Yes, so that was my turning point.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the audience what that is. Okay. Some of them may know. Mm-hmm. There's this exercise that any of us can do, and there's probably no wrong time to do it, but a good time to do it is when you're undecided on how you want to take your life, what you want to do. Like ikigai is kind of like discovering your calling.
Right.
And it's the intersection between four things. It's your, what do I love? What am I good at? What does the world need? and what I can get paid for. And then, so these things collide. And what was telling about your Ikigai experience?
Okay. So I literally stumbled across this and it literally was the turning point for me. And so I love to talk about it. Is for me, I really zoomed out. So there's actually a journal book available that walks you through it. So if you're the type that you actually want to put pen to paper and do it, there is a journal out there called the Ikigai Journal. Hmm. And that's what I did. And it walks you through everything. It's like, you know, close your eyes, think back in your life. What have you always been drawn to? I'm like, people. You know, what do you love doing? I love solving problems. Okay, do you love working with people or being alone? People. Like, oh, wow. It was people, people, people. So then, and it literally was like, what are your favorite jobs and why? What were the things you didn't like about it? What were the things you loved about it? And it's literally walking you through this decision tree. So if you're sitting here going, well, gosh, I don't know what my passion is, or I don't know what my vocation could be, this journal does it for you. And so in that moment, it just caused me, or made me reflective. And I went, oh my God. So I had started to do styling, but I was like, does this make sense? I went to grad school to be a therapist, yada, yada. And basically it was like, oh, I love people. I love helping them succeed and being their best self. I love solving problems. I'm just doing that in their closet. And so that was my turning point, is I had all the components that I always loved about, you know, a career, but it was just in, I saw the parallels, and the only switch was the venue. It was in someone's closet rather than in their hospital room. Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned imposter syndrome. That's interesting. It hasn't come up a lot on the show. And I think a lot of, you'd think it had been, it would.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel that at some point. And so I actually felt some of that. Okay. Our company had grown pretty rapidly. We had 12 video stores, and I think we had got up to maybe 30, 35 million in revenue in our security business. And next thing you know, we've got 150, 200 employees total. And I'm in my, you know, I'm probably 30, a little over 30. And it had outgrown my my confidence in myself, right? We had done so well in terms of growth.
Right.
And so it took a little bit to come to grips with that, though. How did you come to grips with it?
Yeah, so it can mean different things. For some people, it can be whether they feel like they have enough experience or expertise to walk into a role. It can be, for me, it was more role confusion. Like, I was really struggling with my identity in my career. So I imagine, like, say someone who is a lawyer, and maybe they become a compliance manager, or they become a small business owner they didn't realize they were going to be. Like, that's how it was for me. I was like, I'm a therapist. If someone opens my LinkedIn, they're going to see my history in therapy. And do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so for me, I was all about showing a linear path. You go to high school, you go to college, you go to grad school. That's what I did. I had a master's degree. There wasn't any credential for styling.
Wow.
So literally that's what was throwing me off, was more like an academic viewpoint.
Okay. Mine was probably almost like the opposite. If there could be another extreme on the other side, it would be, wow, I had become, I guess I had got lucky and became a little bit more successful than I was ready for.
Am I worthy?
Yeah.
Right. And so I totally agree. So I just feel like those are two different ways of seeing it. Some people, they see that they can do something and they're worried other people don't see they're worthy. And for you, it was you wondering, am I really supposed to be in this room? Am I supposed to have this title?
Right. I've got people with, you know, Harvard MBAs and they work for me. Oh God, I'm a C student from high school.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like the total opposite, but it was enough to mess with me, because that's why I wasn't on LinkedIn. I wasn't on social media for 4 years, and now I've been doing it for 10 years. And the minute I got on social media and started talking about my story, and it is what it is, this is who I am, and that's why people work with me, that was when my business totally changed.
Okay, so I recently recommended you to one of my friends, and he left you a Yelp review. Why was he so happy? What's different about getting help from you versus going over to Macy's or Nordstrom?
Right. So I am a custom menswear stylist, and my specialty is fit. So I consider myself a fit expert. But I also think, for me, I'm a really good communicator. I'm really direct. So when I meet with a guy, I'm figuring out what their fit preferences are. I'm, of course, getting their measurements, but I'm literally saying, what is it that you're looking for? And it's really a level of expertise for sure. You know, when you're coming to see me, I'm an expert in the field. You feel it, you know it. I'm not an employee, you know, and yes, I am my own entity. I'm my own business owner, but there's just a level of passion and expertise in the way that I do a consult.
So I'm thinking about your customer. Is your customer in a, it's men, right?
Right.
Basically,
yep. Mm-hmm.
Are they intimidated by the venture, I suppose, you know, you go in, or I guess you could come to them and all these measurements, and is it intimidating for them? Is there a vulnerability for a guy?
Yeah, I do think there's a bit of a mystery behind it, you know, where it feels a little scary. But then the funny thing is, I'm really down to earth and really approachable. So the minute, that's why when you connected me with your friend via text, the first thing I said is, well, A, I'll text you directly. But I got on an interest call with them. And literally within 20 minutes, we were on a phone call. And the minute someone hears my voice, and I'm like, okay, what are we looking for? How can I help? Like, how, you know, let's connect. Then they're like, okay. And honestly, I go through what to expect, the how long it takes, the pricing, and I just take away all the mystery. And so that's what really gets someone in the door. But like an ideal client for me is a busy guy who doesn't want to shop. They don't have time or energy to. They want their measurements on file, and they know they can trust me with their fit and with their wardrobe choices.
And I think my first experience, so I'm wearing the jacket and shirt that I didn't get the shirt on my first visit to you, but this jacket I got on my first visit, and I want to walk through and kind of recall my first visit. I think it was a gift
from
my wife that I look like crap, and so she sent me and my son-in-law and my son in, so the three of us did, and you, if I remember right, did we have a beer over there?
We did.
Okay. Yeah. Like, okay, there's like a little... So that put me at ease because I'm a little bit like, okay, I got some lady measuring my thighs and stuff, you
right,
know, kind,
right.
of, kind of, you know, extra... more measuring than maybe what I was expecting walking in. And so to me, it helped to have a relaxing environment.
Right, put you at ease.
Yeah, but it was fun going in there in a group. So it was fun going in with my son and my son-in-law and kind of doing something with them and bonding. And, you know, my wife was there, and I think my daughter were... You're kind of watching and laughing at us.
Yes.
So it was kind of a cool event. And I got this jacket. And the thing about this, and I'm going to stand up here for in a second. So I'll have my Scott, my cameraman, and he's really the jackknife, or excuse me, the Swiss Army knife of our organization. He does everything, including operate the camera here. But this jacket is probably 2 or 3 years old whenever I got it the first time. And I'd say it's my favorite jacket because it kind of goes with everything. And I never wear, anybody watching the show is like, this guy's wearing a sport coat. I've never worn a sport coat on the show ever. First time. I also got this shirt, but I want you to tell me, like, for me, I don't really, my wife says, I don't know how stuff is supposed to fit. Like, she's like, oh, your pants are too baggy and this and that. And, you know, they don't look good. And then now that I've gotten a few things from you, like she says, when I wear something that I've gotten from you, she's like, that fits well. So she's happier with me.
Right.
And so I want you to kind of describe what I'm wearing to our audience, and then why does it fit me just right, or what?
Okay.
So I'm going to stand up here real quick. So Scott, go ahead and pan out. So this jacket, how would you describe this jacket, by the way?
So that's a charcoal jacket. So gray is a great color because it's not black, and it really goes well with different shirts and pants.
And it's gray. I was actually thinking it was brown, but it's gray, huh?
Right. Like, it is charcoal.
Gray.
See?
Yeah, okay. So, and then I'm wearing this black shirt I got from you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this, I think, because I wanted to, I had an event maybe.
Yes.
And I think I bought like a tuxedo jacket from you
did, yes.
And a couple other sport coats.
Right.
So describe like this kind of shirt. What is,
How would you describe
that? So that's
that?
A custom fit button down shirt. And we typically would do tucked or untucked, you know, whether or not you're going to tuck it in or not, or leave it out.
Like, I wanted to be able to wear it either way. I don't know if you remember me saying that. Like, okay, is that?
So the length is, from an untucked standpoint, right? I'm going to show it to the for the camera though. But is that right? Or like, because I don't know. Is that about right? Okay.
Typically you're doing midway through the zipper. So like if we looked at your polos, they're probably more like mid zipper. Those are untucked length. And like a shirt that you want to tuck in or leave out, you need to make it long enough that it'll stay in.
Okay. So this one will work either way, but it's not too long. Right. Like if I wear this and I've got it untucked like I do today, it's not too long.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
And then for you, I think those are jeans that I
They
did
are. Too. They're jeans. Okay. So describe the jeans. Okay. So if, check this out. Look at the jeans. Do they still fit right?
Have I? They do. They still fit. You are so funny. Try not.
So, but are they the right amount of like tightness and like all that? How tight are guys' pants supposed to be?
I was just going
to
say, sit down. So what, a couple things. So custom fit and style is literally custom to what you want. I think what can be challenging is when a guy doesn't know what he wants.
Yeah, that was me, I think. I want the way I had it, baggy pants, you know?
But then my job is basically to help someone look their best.
Okay. And you were helping my wife, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yes, and your wife was joining me on this side. So then we put our heads together, you know, and figure out what would be best for you. And really, in the grand scheme of things, it's proportion. So whether you're tall, whether you're shorter, whether you're broad, whether you're small, it's really about balance and proportion. You don't want it to look too tight. You don't want it to look too big. So it's really, it's kind of like Goldilocks, right? Mm. Right in the middle. But if a guy comes to me and says, I want this sport coat to look like a wetsuit, I know how to do it. If I have a guy who's like, you know, this is the biggest thing.
Since look like a wetsuit. Is that like really tight?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Like second skin, you know, versus someone, probably the most common theme since the pandemic has been, I don't want to feel my clothes. Like, so think about it. Okay.
Lululemon. Like,
yes. So, you know, in 2020, everything shifted. A lot of people work from home. A lot of people got really comfortable and they were in their pajamas. They're wearing dress shirts with pajama bottoms doing Zooms, right? So after the pandemic, everyone was confused. Like, where do I shop? How do I get clothes? And basically, do I need to wear clothes that fit? And in my opinion, if you're going to look successful, your clothes need to fit, right? So whether or not your dress code has changed at your office, to me, the most important part is fit. Now, the way you had said, well, how would you describe my style? I like to use the word California casual. Okay. And you and I have had conversations about this. Like when you've had to go to certain events that have a dress code.
Right. We went to one like black tie preferred or something like that.
And you're like, what does that mean? And I said, it depends. And you happen to be getting an award. So I said, technically, you can probably break the rules because you're getting the number one award of the night. And so I gave you permission to not wear a tie. Moral permission. But so I think what's most important is fit is king. But California casual is this term I use where it means it's intentional. You have a plan, yet it might be casual. So, you know, you're wearing an untucked dress shirt with jeans and you have a sport coat. You look put together, but you don't look dressed up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, is this, am I running mainstream to what is, you say California casual? Am I running, is that what most people are trying to accomplish or am I sort of an outlier?
No, currently in what you're wearing, I would say that's mainstream for California.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah.
In my opinion, like a lot of the people I work with, they're high performers, they're entrepreneurs, they're sales guys, you know, they're small business owners. They want to show that they're successful and that they're the boss, but they don't want to wear a suit. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, the company that I work with, I can do anything from a custom t-shirt and jeans all the way to a tuxedo. So I'm allowed to do that. That's the beautiful thing. So when I talk with a guy, I'm talking about his whole wardrobe and the different occasions he would be called to and able to fill those gaps.
And you can get the shirts. I mean, this is kind of an interesting thing. So you can, you know, you go to buy a shirt, you got to try three or four on, you know, one medium or one large doesn't fit the same as the other and all that. Right. You take the measurements so that it, hey, I'd like it to be a little tighter on my arms. Okay, great. Correct. Well, we have those measurements. Boom, proof.
Right.
It's just...
Right. It's literally made to measure. Whether it's the t-shirt and jeans all the way up to the tuxedo, the order is not made until you put it in. And so when I meet with a guy and get his measurements on profile, it just sits there until we need it. So he orders whatever he needs. Then you know, you can text, call, or email me. And then... I set off another order with either the same measurements, we make adjustments, or custom style those items.
And one other interesting aspect, and this is something that people wouldn't know because I don't think I've ever brought this up on the show, but I have this nickname with my granddaughter, Fog, right? And she gave it to me a few years back.
Yeah.
Freaking old guy, right? Is what it stands for. And so you've put that, you've stitched the word fog into, okay, so I don't forget if it's mine or not, I guess, into the back of my jackets and the different clothes, they say fog on them.
Correct.
Do people like, I think it's kind of cool, but like it's very personal because nobody ever sees it.
Right, exactly. Like, and that's what's so beautiful about it is I always say your name's in the clothes because it's your clothes, not mine. Mm. It's not about our brand, it's your brand. So that's the other thing about entrepreneurs and small business owners. It's not necessarily about putting their business logo on it. You're putting the stamp on your wardrobe. Like, I think most people know how you're going to show up dressed. That's how you dress, you know? And so like working with you, I was doing more elevated pieces. So when you were going to events, it still looked like you, but it looked like an elevated version of you for the event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got these jeans for, I don't know how many, I've gotten a few pair of jeans from you, two, three, four pair of jeans, and they fit. They're the ones I wear now, right? So I, if it's warmer weather, I'm pretty much wearing shorts, and then I wear jeans if it's wintertime. But pretty much all I think I wear is your stuff and your like suits and polos and stuff.
Yep.
So it really is convenient. It makes you, once you wear your stuff, it makes you kind of want to throw the other stuff away.
It really
a little
does.
Bit,
kind it's of. A slippery slope.
You're like, am I going to gain weight or whatever?
And I know.
I need some bigger stuff.
Yeah. But I think what's really cool about it when I meet with guys, it's more figuring out really their sweet spot. So the story I was going to mention was I was working with this guy in the real estate industry. And he was like, Katie, I just want to like look good during my talks, but I really want to wear Vans. And I'm like, wear Vans.
That guy.
And I said, wear Vans. But it's like in his mind, he thought there were rules to follow. If I'm up on a stage with a microphone, I need to have a suit on. I'm like, no. Same thing with you. I'm winning. I just got this award. I'm going. It says black tie. Do I need to wear a tie? And I'm like, no. Because that's not you. Like that feels like a costume to you. Mm-hmm. That feels like, so then it doesn't make you feel like you won the award. It made you feel like you're having to follow
a rule. I got imposter syndrome again. I hate it when that happens.
So basically, I feel like that's where my sweet spot is figuring out what do you want and need? Are you hard to fit? Like, from either a stature standpoint or people who are athletic with broad shoulders, skinny waist, people who have athletic thighs and butt, love our pants because they actually have the room they need. But really, it's about figuring out what is your brand. Mm-hmm. And people who are successful, whether they're entrepreneurs, businessmen, women, really, they ultimately defy a brand. Like when you are first successful, you think, I need the name brands that I've seen and I've wanted, like luxury brands.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, my clients are like going above a brand. Mm. Like, what, transcending a brand.
And for me, I don't even know what the brands are. So that is probably, you know, I'm so Levi's, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So that, so... Okay, so celebrity-wise, you have, I saw one of the names on the thing that Scott typed, my notes here, Scott typed up, your bio, and one of the guys, is there a guy named Andy Elliott?
Yeah.
Okay, so if anybody doesn't know who he is, I wouldn't have known who he is other than, randomly, I'm following him on Instagram. He's this ripped motivational speaker dude that I happen to be following on Instagram, and...
I saw his name on your thing, and he's yeah. like an Arizona guy or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was it like fitting him? Because that guy's like a pretty muscular, wears his stuff really tight. Right. And
why do you think he called me?
Yeah, yeah, he wanted it just right.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So that was, well, that was a good example of connections in social media. So, you know, I've been doing this since 2014, and pretty early on, I got into car dealerships. Like, I work with a lot of guys who are in car sales. And so for them, appearance, oh, yeah. you know, success, super important. So I've worked with car guys since 2015. So long story short, one of them was at with Andy Elliott as a VP of sales. Okay. And I reached out to him going, hey, I know you. You're from Sacramento. You know who I am, da, da, da. And he goes, hey, I have an idea. We should fly you out and measure Andy Elliott. Oh. So long story short, it took about a year to nail him down. They flew me out as a birthday gift to Andy Elliott.
Oh my
like
God.
From Sacramento. And oh. I went and measured him like in his
I've
house.
I've never been a birthday gift for anybody, I don't think. Geez, that's quite impressive.
I know. So it was kind of fun. So, but it was one of those things where he's a great example of an athlete where no matter how tight he wanted his clothes to fit, they still didn't fit right. Mm. And so I basically said, you know, I can unlock the fit for you. And then that's what I did was I measured him. And because we did custom, the shorts finally fit. And it was intense.
He's a guy that says on social media, and I'm paraphrasing, yes. something like, if you don't have a six pack, you should be fired or something right. like that, right? Yes. So he's yes. that guy. Very well, intense. Was very he intense with you?
He was, but actually it was really interesting because I measured him at his house and he welcomed me in shorts and like no shoes on, bare feet, and I measured him in his kitchen. So it was okay. very mellow in yeah. that sense. But the intensity was there. But the thing is, I think his take-home message in that, you know, phrase is, you know, trust yourself and your routine. Like one of the phrases he says is if someone sees you in impeccable shape and appearance, that they know you stick to your routines mm-hmm. and that you are worth your word. Like you're for your word.
Interesting.
And so he takes that and says, so if you're sitting there across from them trying to close a deal, if you're in impeccable shape and form and dress, they're more likely to trust you. So that kind of goes to the psychology of dressing, like either dress for success, but he takes it to the next level of like discipline. So that's one of his philosophies. So,
well, so dress for success, that term has been around for, I don't know, 100 years probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you find that it's true that if you do, I mean, do you believe what he's selling there in terms of like the way you look really has, it affects, your successful level?
Yeah. So, I mean, and there's studies out there. Like, you could pull it up. I was going back through my LinkedIn yesterday. I had posted some where it's like literally Psychology Today, Forbes, all these magazines reference studies where, you know, the managers are looking at their workers and they're doing surveys. And it's like, if they feel good in the way that they're dressed, it increases their confidence.
Yeah.
And it increases their job performance.
That's the thing that I was going to say. The fact that I think dressing in a way that makes you feel good about you,
right.
It has that effect of, I can do this, right?
Correct.
I can, correct. You know, I, and when you are, whether you're an entrepreneur or a salesman or a saleswoman, if you have that, I can do this, I'm going to go out and kick ass. You're a heck of a lot more likely to do it than right. if you're like, I know, kind of thinking about how scroungy right. I look and maybe even insecurities around those kind right. of things, which
right.
we all have.
Right.
Everybody's got insecurities about their right. appearance. And if you can sort of get over that for a minute, you're going to be more effective.
Yeah. And so what's crazy is some of the business I've done in car dealerships is they do monthly spiffs where their best sales guys earn money to spend with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just this circle, you know, where the managers see it. They're like, oh my God, Katie, they're doing great. Then they get dressed, they do better, they want more. And then whether they earn it or not, they still keep shopping with me because they can't go back. Like you said, you know, it's kind of this slippery slope where you're just like, oh my God, this is how it's supposed to be. So,
yeah. And some people don't like to go shopping. And I would say correct. Guys in generally are sort of notorious for being, do I have to go shopping? I'm not as anti-shopping, but I don't really like shopping for clothes and correct. Stuff and trying stuff on. It's not like an enjoyable thing for me. So I would take my wife up if I was going to do that. But
now that I've gone over to your place a few years ago and got measured, now it's a text. Hey, what do you have? I want to get a few, you know, polo shirts, or I want to get another sport coat, or I need some more jeans or whatever. It's a text, and it's, they show up and they fit. It's so convenient. It's like the most convenient. It's, you know, because if you buy something on Amazon or
there's
online,
there's no guarantee.
I mean, it's pretty much not going to fit, right? It's like 50% chance, regardless of whether you know your size or not. It's like, still a pretty good shot it's not going to fit right.
Yeah, so I mean, basically at this point, custom, in my opinion, is like the new way to shop, because really in our daily wear, pieces are very competitively priced, you know, where average is 128 to 168. So
128 to 168 for what?
For like custom polo, shirts.
So compare that to like pants. Macy's or Nordstrom.
I know Nordstrom. Yeah. So
it's Nordstrom kind of parallel in terms of that.
And we're custom, where it's custom fit and styled. You're picking the buttons, the threads, all the things. And then you get the experience with me. That's all included in that price. You're not paying me style fees. Like if you were in LA, a celebrity working with a stylist, you're paying by the hour. Oh. So the way our system is, it's built in. But yeah, I mean, it's the ultimate convenience. And really, it's, if someone can do it, it's such a win-win, because you're getting the fit, you're getting the style you want, and you're getting an expert opinion.
So what's the, so one of the things Scott said I should bring up is, or maybe it was you, the psychology of styling, and where my head was on that was the weird personalities that might come in and want, what's the, give me a weird one. Give me one because I mean, there's a lot of, there's probably some weird ones, but we all have some of those characteristics in us, right? Like we all have some hidden weirdness to us.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Maybe help us identify maybe that weirdness in ourselves and talk to me about a customer experience or a journey maybe.
Well, let me try to think. So there's definitely like different buckets. So there's people who come to me from more the fit standpoint. So you, like I mentioned, you've got short, tall, athletic, you know, slender people. And then the convenience is more the people who are really busy. You know, one of the funny experiences I have with lawyers all the time is they're on billable time. So they in and out, like 3 minutes, you know, like, can
we're
I get back to work
now? We're all on billable time. My time's valuable too, dude. Take it easy.
I know, but it is hilarious.
All my attorney friends out there.
I love you. So, but it is funny because sales guys or attorneys, they just want in and out, you know? But then what's really cool is when you get people who really have more of a story to it. Like I remember this one time a gentleman came in and he goes, I just lost my wife 3 years ago. And I just didn't realize, I haven't shopped in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I had never met him before. And basically, it was like he realized that he, just like you had said, leaned on his wife. Like that was something she did. Do you see? And so it took him stumbling into my shop one day to say,
probably super emotional for him.
Super
like,
emotional.
I don't know what I don't even know how to do. Like
I know
is my first without my wife, and it's 3 years later.
Literally. And so I talked to him. We talked about that and how he really wanted help and guidance. And I said, absolutely. And I said, this is a whole nother day. Like let's set aside time next Tuesday. And he came back and we did the thing. You know, we got measured. But it was like that's how like profound it can be, is when you realize like he had lost his wife.
Problems.
She had always helped him shop. He was clueless.
Invent.
He needed clothes. And then I step
they
in and have this, you know, role in
now.
His life.
Yeah, almost,
that he
there is therapy.
I told you.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so what about the bachelor, the bridal party dudes, right? The guy's like, I want to get a tux. I bring my buddies in and we're all laughing. And that's probably almost how me, my son, and son-in-law were that day.
It's totally funny. Well, so I remember when Nate and Jordan came in on a Thursday and they had the day off. And I always say, do you want a water, coffee, or a whiskey? And they're like, it's Thursday. It's 11. It's our day off. And they had a whiskey. So that was funny. And then I had this other bridal party. Sometimes it's just the groom, but the guys are there and that's awesome. And they roll in with a cooler of Bud Light. And I'm like, more power to you. Like whatever makes you happy. So I think the nice thing about that is just relaxing and realizing it's an experience. And,
Well, it's nice that you have a location that we can go to that, you know, you have the showroom and the place to try stuff on and I guess get measured. I think there are other people that maybe come to your house, and I think you do that too.
Yeah.
But I could see, you know, for most of us, it feels safer to maybe go there than have you maybe come to our house or something for some people, I guess.
So historically, you know, Jay Hilburn's been around. We're a network of stylists, and historically we are mobile stylists where we do go to someone's work or home. And then I was just doing well enough that it supported the need for a studio. Cool. So then it's nice that I can offer both, like you said.
Okay, so what did I not ask you here? So I'm looking at my notes.
Oh, hold on. I had one. Is the goal in life to just wear jeans and a t-shirt, right?
I think, you know, if... actually, you know, freedom. So, you know, we talk about, like, why do people chase entrepreneurship? Why do people work really hard to be successful? I think a lot of people see success as freedom to do whatever the heck I want to do.
Yep.
And if you like wearing jeans or a t-shirt or both, more power to you.
Exactly. I totally agree. So, like, when people ask me what is the rule or what should I do, I will state a standard, but then I'm like, okay, but let's go. Like, what do you want to do? So the perfect example was you in your black tie event, where I'm like, okay, do we really want to follow the rules, Mark? I don't think so. So let's skip the black tie.
Let's not forget what got you here.
Yeah. So, but that's part of, and that's really back to the Ikigai thing and being a therapist. To me, it's that, you know, not to overstate it, but I want people to succeed. I want them to feel their best. And it's a type of self-actualization, but through clothes and a wardrobe. And for a lot of people, it holds people back. It holds, like, they are held back by their clothes or how they feel in clothes. So if I can make clothes fit better or empower someone to wear their Vans instead of dress shoes, that's amazing. And that's what people remember me for, is saying, it's okay. Like, you do you. And we're here for it.
Okay, so two final questions. And if there's anything I didn't ask you that you want to throw in, go for it. So what's the vision of the future for your organization?
Yeah, so for me, it's mentorship and opening more markets. So, you know, mentor-wise, obviously, I'm an educator and teacher by heart. But I have been on a unique journey, and I want others to join and see the potential in being a stylist as well. So a stylist is normally someone who's connected in their community, they whether or not they have traditional style experience or not, but someone who likes to work with people, help them be their best self. So I now mentor stylists within the Sacramento area, because I was driving from Elk Grove to Rockland, from El Dorado Hills to West Sac, it's just too much. So now I'm looking for people in those pockets of the region to support the market. Then I'm also developing markets in Las Vegas, LA, Scottsdale.
Wow.
So I know, taking over the world.
Well, I have friends in some of those areas that might want to buy some clothes.
I love it.
Okay, so last question, and it ties to your last answer a little bit. As somebody who's going to be mentoring other entrepreneurs and other people that are chasing their dream and trying to, you know, change the world in the way of fashion, I mean, what advice would you have to those people besides doing an Ikigai, which I think is a great thing that anybody can do, but what other advice would you say one ought to take?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is owning your story. So I think so many people, especially with the effects of social media and seeing the visuals, is you see everyone else doing their thing and you think, oh, I should be like them or like them. And I think really with that Ikigai and my pivot point was just going, Katie, you are who you are. That's why people work with you. Now you're just going in a different direction. So owning your story and saying, hey, these are the things that brought me here. These are the things I'm going forward with. And realizing that's why you're unique. That's why people are working with you, is because of you and who you are. And whatever brought you to this chapter, it's going to be help you write the next chapter.
Own your story. I love that, Katie Cantrell. Thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for my wife thanks you. I thank you. I think a lot of my friends thank you too for helping us to look and feel our best.
I love it. Thanks.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.